There are two types of people in this world. Those that live and those that are dead. Only two. Those that are alive, those who live, and those who are dead. And I'm not speaking simply of those who live physically, in contrast to those who are buried in the graves. But I am speaking of the distinction between those who are alive spiritually and those who are dead spiritually, no matter that they may be seen walking around in their bodies. Their death is but a moment away. They're already dead spiritually. And our spiritual death is but a precursor to our physical death. But there are those who are brought to life spiritually, who even when they are laid in the grave, will still live. You either live or you die. You're either alive or you're dead. By nature, we are told that all men, having fallen in Adam, having disobeyed Almighty God, are dead in trespasses and sins. Our disobedience unto God, our rebellion against God, has caused us to sin, and by sinning, to die. We may walk around in this world, but we are dead before Almighty God. Our hearts think, see, do, breathe sinful, rebellious thoughts each and every day. We are but walking dead. And the hours of time tick away. Hour by hour, day by day, year by year, until the spiritually dead stand before Almighty God to be cast into a second death, into a lake of fire forever, if they have no answer to their rebellion, their sin, and the death which remains in their hearts. That's our state by nature. But there are those of whom we read in the book of Hebrews who have been delivered from such a death, delivered from such a state, delivered from their sin, delivered from their rebellion, delivered from their blindness, delivered from their blindness to those realities which are hidden from the natural man. By nature, we cannot see eternity. And we cannot see Almighty God. And by nature, not seeing, we don't believe. So we're blind to the realities which lie behind what we can see with the physical eye. We see the world around us. We see the people we meet every day, but we don't see the Creator. We see His handiwork and the evidence of His existence, but we don't see Him. Every day we see the life which beats physically in the heart of men. We see the motions of life. We see people going here and going there and saying this and saying that, but we don't see the spiritual hand that keeps their hearts beating. We don't see the mighty force that keeps this world spinning. We don't see the mighty force that keeps the sun rising up every day and the heat coming forth and the weather coming forth and the food growing. We don't see he who is life, who sustains all living things physically in this world. We see the effects of his handiwork. We see how people go about their daily business, but we don't see him. And not seeing him, our natural hearts are blind to the reality that lies behind the things we see. And our natural hearts are prone to mock and to reject and to say, well, where is God? Where is he? If there be a God, show me him. If I can't see him, how can I believe him? Like Thomas, when he was told that Christ had risen from the dead, he said, how can I believe? How shall I believe unless I see the wounds in his hands and touch them with my fingers? Unless I see the wound in his side and thrust in my hand? Unless I see him, unless he's there before me, how can I believe? So is our response. Despite all the evidence in the creation around us and in our own conscience, because he created us and gave us a conscience and an awareness of his existence, despite all that is within and without, we still say in the darkness of a sinful mind, there is no God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And we all, like fools, say in our hearts, there is no God. Whatever we may profess with our lips, we may before other men profess one thing or another. We may be religious. We may go to worship. We may read the Bible. We may say, oh yes, I believe there's a God. But in reality, in our hearts, if we've not known him, if we don't see him spiritually, if we've not heard his voice, in reality those are just words and professions. Our heart lives and acts like there is no God. We're as fools. And we can't help ourselves. There we are in the darkness. And it's all dark. And we're blind. And we hear nothing. And we go through our life in this world, day by day, year by year, pursuing all that we can grasp hold of. And it all disappears from our hands like sand pouring through them. We can't hold on to anything. It's an instinctive reality in all people. They're born. As a child, they grow and they learn about the world around them. As they grow into adolescence and adulthood, they aspire to be this and to be that and to have this and have that. They have their ambitions, they have their goals in life, they seek to do this and to do that. They seek to have a career, they seek to have a family, they seek to travel here and travel there and do this and do that and experience this and experience that. But they can't cheat the passing of time. And soon the child is an adult. And soon the adult is an old person. And soon that old person is a dead corpse in the grave. Don't be fooled. Time passes faster than you will ever imagine. Young person, soon you will be old. And soon you will look back on your life and wonder where the time went. And soon you will realize that all that you tried to grasp hold of in this world, even if you had it for a moment, time takes it away. So there are those who make great names for themselves. Those who rise to great power in the world. Those who rise to great fame and fortune. Those who own multiple homes and have huge bank accounts and have this thing and that thing and have people applauding them. And soon they're old men and they're in the graves and they're gone. They're yesterday's heroes. The film stars of old are all gone. The kings and queens and emperors of old are all in the grave. And the richest and the mightiest in our generation will soon be but a name in a history book, a memory. None can cheat the passing of time or the realities of life. That life is brief and fleeting. And if all you have is all you strive to achieve and gain naturally, then you are but the walking dead. And soon you will be dead and gone and buried and in eternity in another place where the dead remain forever. You either live or you die. Naturally speaking, we're born dead. We're born blind to the realities of eternity and of God and of the gospel. We cannot comprehend. We will not comprehend. We cannot hear. We will not hear. We cannot see. We will not see. We close our eyes. We close our ears. We close our hearts. And like little lemmings, we go running around trying to grab hold of what we can in this world, trying to make a great name for ourselves, and soon we're gone. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Because the fool loses his life in a moment. Once he's there, the next he's gone. And then he stands in eternity before his Maker and sees all that is true and all that is real and cannot escape it, though once he buried his head in the sand. But there are those of whom we read who are delivered from the folly of their natural state, delivered from their blindness, delivered from the death of sin by nature. Those who are given faith by which they live, by which they see things hidden to the natural man. In Hebrews 10 verse 38 we read, now the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. What makes a man live? Faith does. And from whence does faith come? From God. It is the gift of God. As we read in Ephesians. If God gives you faith, then he will open your eyes, open your ears, open your understanding, and pour life and righteousness in the soul. You will see things you never saw. You will believe things you never comprehended. You will understand that which is hidden to the natural man. You will live. The just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. We are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Without faith, perdition, hell, eternal judgment is our end. But with faith, we believe to the saving of the soul. Chapter 11 tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. How can we believe in a God we cannot see? How can we believe and hope for an eternal inheritance in a kingdom to come which we cannot yet see? We can believe by faith, because faith is the evidence, the proof of things not seen. How can you be so sure there's a God, someone may ask? Because he's given me faith, and I see him, and I know him, and I hear him. That's the evidence. I don't need any other evidence. I don't need to have Christ come back in this generation like he appeared in a former generation and see the things that that people saw. There were people who lived when Christ walked upon this earth who saw him perform miracles, who saw him touch the eyes of the blind and the blind did see, who saw him touch the lame and the lame did walk, who saw him call out to Lazarus in the grave, "Lazarus, come forth," and that dead man, Lazarus, came forth from the grave. They saw the miracles. They saw the resurrection. They saw the power of God. They saw the fullness of God in the person of Jesus Christ. God incarnate stood before them. And multitudes that saw Jesus Christ rejected him and put him to death. And if he came and stood here this day, and stood before us, then without faith we would reject him and put him to death. But with faith, we'd fall down upon our knees and praise and worship the Saviour as Peter and the other disciples did. The difference between those who received Christ when he was on this earth and those who cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him, crucify him." The difference between the two wasn't the evidence of their own eyes or the evidence of their own ears. The difference was faith. Faith was the evidence of who Christ was, even though they saw him. To the natural man, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was but the son of Mary and Joseph the carpenter. To those of faith, he was the Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. How do you know that God created the heavens and the earth? We believe it. We know it. And the fools of men who reject that truth grasp around looking for evidence in the soil and the rocks and the world around them and reaching ridiculous and foolish conclusions because they say there can't be a God, I can't see a God, so how have I got here and how are these things? And they reach their foolish, ridiculous ideas of millions of years and gradual change of men being evolved from monkeys and from slime in the waters. What fools they are. And if you believe that, what a fool you are. Well, that's a bit blunt, sir. Yes, it is, because you're a fool. You're a fool, and you're a fool because you're blind and dead in your sin. And the only thing that will deliver you from your folly and your foolish acceptance of the lies and the folly of other men that you take without really examining. Oh, well, this great man says this and that great man says that and this scientist says this and that scientist says that. They must be right. The only thing that will deliver you from your own foolishness as one who is blind, who follows the blind, is if God gives you faith as evidence of things not seen. When he opens your eyes, you will see and you will know. And these things will be so clear. The rest of chapter 11 in Hebrews tells us of those patriarchs, those people that God gave faith to, who believed and knew the gospel even before the coming of Christ. I've just said, if you were around when Christ was on this earth, you would no more have believed and received him than many of those who rejected him, except God gave you faith. And if you believe in Jesus Christ and his gospel today, it will be because God has given you faith. In the same way that many who lived thousands of years before the coming of Christ, who only knew of him through the prophecies and the revelation of God, that one day a Savior would come, one day Messiah would come, one day the promises of God would be filled. There were those who lived thousands of years before his coming, and they believed by faith. They believed the same way that the apostles and disciples who lived in Christ's day and age believed, and the same way that believers, Christians, believe today. They looked through time unto Christ. We look back through time unto Christ. And faith lays hold of Christ in his gospel. What we read is a remarkable account of those who believed in Christ thousands of years before his coming. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Abel, the son of Adam, the first naturally born children, Abel and Cain, the two sons of Adam and Eve, right at the beginning of time, Abel was shown the gospel. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Abel did not live in the days of Jesus Christ. Abel did not have the scriptures that we have and the accounts that we have of the death, the burial and the resurrection of Christ. Abel did not have the Gospels. Abel did not have the epistles that Paul wrote, revealing the doctrine of justification by faith and the righteousness of God. But Abel, through the sacrifice that God gave him to give, and the revelation of God by faith, believed that God would provide a sacrifice in the future, in the fullness of time, which would wash Abel's sins away. Abel offered a sacrifice, a lamb, and shed the blood of the lamb and offered it to God. And in so doing, Abel believed that God would have a sacrifice whose blood would be shed, and that blood would wash away Abel's sins. Abel knew he was a sinner. He knew that mankind had sinned. He knew from his father, Adam, what had happened in the garden and why they were in the state they were in. He could see sin and death all around him. He could see the consequences of the fall around him and in his own heart. And he believed God would wash him clean of his sins through the blood of a sacrifice. Right back at the beginning, he believed. And the consequence of his faith, of his belief in God, was that those who did not share his belief, those who had not faith, hated him for his testimony, hated him for his faith. Hated him because of the God he loved and believed in. And his own brother came, rose up in jealousy and hatred and slew him. Faith brings a tremendous reward. Abel believed God and inherited everlasting salvation. But his life in this world was brutally taken from him by his own brother. If you walk by faith, if you live by faith, you have that which other men don't have. Eternal, everlasting life in Jesus Christ. The righteousness of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. An everlasting inheritance to come. Peace and righteousness and acceptance with an almighty God. But you will know the hatred and rejection of man. Because man rejects all that is of God, all that is everlasting, all that is righteous. He despises it. He hates it. And he hates every reminder of it. He hates Christ. He hates the gospel. He hates the message of the gospel. He hates the messengers of the gospel. He hates those that believe the gospel. He hates those that speak of the gospel. The world will be happy with you if you keep your mouth shut. Go away and believe what you want to believe. If you want to believe those things, that's all right for you. I don't mind. You can believe what you want to believe. I'll believe what I want to believe. Just don't talk to me about what you believe. That's your opinion, not my opinion. You go away and believe your Christianity if you will. You live your life of faith if you will. Just don't talk to me about it. So we have this world around us today that pretends to be accepting of whatever you want to do as long as you keep quiet. But it hates to hear about it. And when the apostles, the disciples, following the death and resurrection of Christ, went about preaching the gospel and declaring who Christ was and what he had done, why he came, what he did upon the cross, why he shed his blood, when they declared the good news of the gospel, God's salvation of dead sinners, life by faith in Jesus Christ, when they made it known, the world around them raged and said, keep quiet else we'll put you to death. And the apostle says, shall we obey God or shall we obey man? How can we not but speak and testify of the things which we have seen and heard? We can't keep quiet. Faith in our hearts, the life in our hearts will speak. It will declare what we know. We will testify of Christ, even if it means that others put us to death. Yes, Abel died for his faith. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. Why did Enoch please God? Because he walked by faith. For without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Don't think you can please God if you have no faith. All your religion, all your works, all your outward obedience, all your profession, all your claims are of no worth without faith. The Jews that put Christ to death were very zealous for the law of God. They were very zealous for the temple. They were very zealous for the sacrifices. They thought they were serving God. But when God's Son stood before them, they rejected him because they had no faith in the revelation of God and his Son. And they put him to death. Without faith, we cannot please God. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, when God promised he'd send a flood, such a thing had never happened. There had never been rain in the world before then. He believed what God told him, even though all around him jeered and sneered at him. What are you doing, Noah? I'm building an ark. Why are you building this? To escape the flood that's coming. What are you talking about, Noah? But Noah believed. Warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, he prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. God said, leave Ur of the Chaldees, come out and come to a promised land. And Abraham obeyed God. But the land that Abraham went to when he was led into Canaan was not the land, it was a picture. Abraham believed by faith in an eternal and everlasting, a heavenly country. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Abraham was promised that of Sarah, in old age, they would have a son. And through that son, his offspring would be as the sand on the seashore innumerable. It was unbelievable. He was dead, physically speaking. Sarah was dead, physically speaking. They could not have children. Yet this came to pass. And they believed, and it happened. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Yes, Abraham, by faith, sought this heavenly country. And the world rejected him. But he believed, and in the end, he will receive. The chapter goes on to talk of others, of Abraham offering up Isaac, a picture of the offering of Christ. He that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, as God the Father offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. This promised son that God said he would have, which was eventually born, though they were old, God then said, offer him up. And naturally speaking, Abraham might have felt, but this is the son you promised, by whom I will have a great inheritance. How can I possibly slay him? but he believed. And he was willing to offer him up. And because he was willing, God stopped him and brought about the promise. But God showed him through this what God would do in offering up his son. How could God save a multitude if he offered up his own son? How could God's promise to Abraham be brought about if Abraham offered up the son of promise? Because God was able to bring the dead back to life again. As we read, Abraham, by faith, accounted that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Abraham was willing to offer up Isaac because he knew that God could still bring his promises to pass, because God could bring him alive again. And he believed in the resurrection of the Son. And through the picture of Isaac, he looks down through history to the coming of Christ and the offering of God's Son and the death of God's Son and the resurrection of God's Son, Jesus Christ. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Moses had the world at his feet, adopted as Pharaoh's son by his daughter. He could have all the riches of the Egyptian empire. But Moses believed God and was willing to give it all up, to go into the desert place and follow his God because he believed in greater things. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Moses, by faith, kept the Passover. God showed him the gospel. God said, I will come upon the people of this world, and I will judge them, and I will destroy them because of their sins. But where I find blood over the door of the house, where I find blood upon a person's heart, I will spare and deliver. And Moses was taught the need for a lamb to be sacrificed and for blood to be sprinkled in order to be saved from our sins. He was shown the gospel. He believed the gospel. God came on the night of the Passover and slew all the firstborn in Egypt, but all those Israelites who had blood sprinkled upon the door, he spared and he delivered and he led that people, 400,000, out of Egypt, out of the grip of Pharaoh and the Egyptians, He led them forth, as it were, to salvation. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to were drowned. They went through the Red Sea. The Egyptians tried to do the same thing. God delivered his people, and he destroyed the Egyptians. What difference was there? One had faith, and the other did not. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. What separated a harlot, a wicked woman, Rahab, from those in Jericho? Why did the others perish and she didn't? Was she any better than they? No! She was wicked! But she believed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak, and of Samson and Jephthah, of David also and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. Were tempted. Were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect. So the writer concludes this chapter. He's spoken of individuals who by faith, we see, believe the gospel, looking forward in time to the coming of Christ. And then he speaks of these multitudes of others who followed, who wrought great deeds by faith, and who knew great opposition by faith. And he says of them all, that of whom the world was not worthy. The world was not worthy of Abel, that man of faith. This wicked, evil world who put Abel to death by the hand of Cain was not worthy of him. The world was not worthy of Enoch. The world was not worthy of righteous Noah, who found grace in the eyes of God. The world was not worthy of Abraham, who sought an everlasting heavenly kingdom. The world was not worthy of Isaac, or of Jacob, or of Joseph, or of Moses. The world was not worthy of Rahab. The world was not worthy of Gideon and Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David, and of Samuel, and of all the prophets. The world didn't deserve them. This wicked, evil world of death and sin doesn't deserve such a people in its midst. Yet God put them there. And God gave them faith to stand for the truth, and to believe the truth, and to accept the opposition and hatred of all men because of the truth. By faith they look through the ages, hundreds of years, thousands of years into the distance, and saw their salvation in Jesus Christ. They saw the Lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. They saw the blood that washed them clean. And though they couldn't see it with their eyes, though they never saw Christ born in Bethlehem, though they never saw Christ preaching and teaching the gospel, as many did, though they never saw Christ hung upon the cross as a multitude did, though they never saw him laid in the grave, though they never saw him raised from the dead, though they never saw the full revelation of God in the scriptures like we do today, though they lacked all the advantages of the generations to come, nevertheless, they have faith, and they lived, and they believed. And the world was not worthy of them. What was wrought by their faith? They subdued kingdoms by faith. Joshua went into the promised land, and Jericho's walls fell down flat. Not by his great might or the people's great might, but by faith. They believed their God. They did what God said. And kingdoms were subdued. They wrought righteousness. Abel believed in the blood of the sacrifice. Abraham offered up Isaac in a figure and believed in the righteousness of God by faith. They wrought righteousness. They obtained promises. Isaac was born unto Abraham as God said he would be. They stopped the mouths of lions. Daniel cast into a pit of lions by those who rejected him and his gospel and his God survived because of his faith. Stop the mouths of lions. These men quenched the violence of fire. They escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness they were made strong. They waxed valiant in fight and turned in flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Mary and Martha saw Lazarus walk forth. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. What was wrought by faith, but what a response there is. Wherever you see faith, wherever the gospel is preached, wherever a testimony is raised unto Jesus Christ, the world will rage in hatred. The world was not worthy of these people of faith. Those who looked outside of time, outside of this world for a saviour, for salvation, for their God. The world was not worthy of them. They walked by faith, not by sight. They walked by grace. They looked for a sacrifice to come. They looked unto the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, and the world looked upon them and put them to death. Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins. Destitute, afflicted, tormented. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. They suffered for their faith, even to the loss of their lives. And they were willing to, because they loved their God. They loved that which is outside of time outside of this world, that which is everlasting. Their faith could do nothing else. They lived by faith. And their willingness to die and the rejection they received was no more than that which was exacted upon their master, their Lord and their Saviour, Jesus Christ. The world wasn't worthy of these people of faith, and it isn't worthy of those of faith. It's not worthy of us today. And any who testify of Christ, this world doesn't deserve God's mercy. It doesn't deserve God's salvation. And yet He sent it. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into this dark and evil world in order to save His people from their sins. The world wasn't worthy of these people of faith. It wasn't worthy of Christ, the author and finisher of faith. That's why the world hates them, because the world hates Him. The world rejected them because it rejected Christ. The world rejects us who believe because it rejects Christ and His gospel. The world rejects the author and finisher of faith. And it rejects all those who look under Him by faith. We follow Him, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Consider Him. He stood, and they put Him to death. And many who have followed may have suffered the same, but they do so because of their great Saviour. He despised the shame of the cross because of the joy that was set before Him. He came to save sinners from their sins, to save His people from their sins, to save everyone who would follow Him by faith from their sins. He saved them. He did that which He promised to do. And everyone who believes and receives Him through the gospel will follow and receive all the joy that He brought in for them. He came for His people, a people chosen of God, chosen before the foundation of this earth, chosen before Adam fell in the garden, chosen before Abel offered his sacrifice, chosen before Cain slew Abel, chosen before God sent the judgment upon the world in the day of Noah, chosen before the coming of Christ. God chose a people, and everyone whom He chose, Christ came and took them to the cross. He bore their sins. He suffered the judgment. He delivered them. And He brings them unto faith. Every single one chosen by God the Father, whose names were on the heart of Jesus Christ, whose sins were blotted out by the Son of God upon the cross, every single one will be brought to hear this gospel and this message and this truth, though they live in darkness, though they bury their heads in the sand, though they be the most blind and foolish, though they say, "Where's the evidence? I cannot see." God will come in the gospel by His Spirit and open their eyes that they should see, and open their ears that they should hear, and take the foolishness away and shine the light into the darkness of their hearts, and they will see and they will believe. And you, my friend, may be there in the darkness, running afar off, grasping at all that you can gain in this world. But if you are God's, If you're one for whom Christ came, you cannot outrun him. You cannot outrun his love. You cannot outrun his mercy. You cannot escape his grace. He will come and find you wherever you be. Your sins will not outweigh his grace. There's nothing you can do which is too bad, too wicked, too great, that his blood cannot wash it away. That his blood cannot redeem you. That his grace cannot wash over. This world, the world, those in the world, you and I by nature, love darkness, sin, death, rather than life. We won't come to the light. We have no faith. But if God comes to us in the gospel and brings us faith, then we, like these, will believe unto the saving of our souls. Oh, may God open doors to send forth this gospel even today and open the hearts that sinners might believe. Sinners who have faith, of whom the world was not worthy. Amen.